Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms again, chapter 66. Psalms in chapter number 66. If you find your place, let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Psalm 66 and verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth shall worship Thee and shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing unto Thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. You know, the other day when I was trying to prepare this thought, I highlighted that word "we." I'm satisfied that the psalmist that wrote this was not in that multitude that passed through the Red Sea. But that word "we" is in all inclusive of the people of God that have been saved. It's what's happened to us. We've all passed through that Red Sea on dry land. And we can rejoice in Him. He said, He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us, as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. And may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture tonight. Let's pray together. Our Father, again, I'm thankful for Calvary and for the redemption that's in the Lord Jesus. I thank You for life itself. And I thank You, Lord, for eternal life. I thank You, Lord, for the many, many times You've delivered. Many, many times You've, Lord, guided us through the troubled waters. Many times You've enabled us to be overcomers in this Christian life. Many times, Lord, You've put joy in our hearts and lifted us up when we're discouraged. Many times, Lord, You've revived us in our own soul. Lord, I pray now that You would help us in this hour tonight, that You'd help Your people. We are needy. We are in great need of the presence of the Lord in our life, to give us light that we may walk in the light of the living. And I pray, O God, that You'd give liberty tonight, that we might preach Thy Word. I pray You give us Holy Ghost unction, that we might declare this truth. I pray You'll bless the people. I ask You, Lord, to take these feeble thoughts and make them fresh to their hearts, that they might rejoice in what God is doing in their life. Give them light, that they might have understanding. And Lord, bless us together in the work and the ministry of the church. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to call our thought tonight, really I'm going to be preaching from verses 10, 11, and 12, if the Lord will be my helper. I want to preach a little while on God's trying of our Christian life, our faith. God's proving us, and God's trying us, and God's testing us. Somebody said, "Preacher, you preach a lot on that." I think the reason I do is because we stay there a great deal of our Christian life. I've come to realize that we're in one trial and out of it and into another. And it's line upon line and precept upon precept. And the greater the trial that God leads us through, the purer we become, the greater work that we can accomplish for Almighty God. And really, the title of the message don't fit at all anything I'm preaching, but the title of the message would be The Trail of Tears. I believe that in our trials of life that God gives us, that it's going to produce many, many tears. I think there's a park in Hopkinsville called the Trail of Tears Park, and the Trail of Tears is well known, the Indians being driven from North Carolina to Oklahoma, and the sadness and the sorrow and the death that they experienced on the way out there became known as the Trail of Tears. And I believe that every Christian, every child of God that walks through the trial of their faith, they're going to find somewhere along the line that there's going to be some tears that will be shed. But thank God that He puts our tears in a bottle. God numbers every drop and keeps every tear that we shed. Thank God when we're there, God knows our broken heart. God knows our contrite spirit. God knows how we feel. God can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. We have not a great high priest that cannot be touched. And we have a throne of grace that we can go to. Now the psalm is said, if you read the title, it's said to be a song or a psalm. That is, that it can either be said or it can be sung. The Hebrew people sung these psalms as songs. You and I read them today as poems, and we preach them as the Word of God. And it's a marvelous poem. It's a marvelous song to be read. But it can be set to music if a man wanted to do that. That doesn't mention an author as most of the Psalms, either by David, by Moses, by Asaph, or by someone else. But this particular Psalm does not have any title of any author to it. But it bears all of the characteristics of the sweet psalmist of Israel, a man by the name of David. And in the Psalm, its topics, it has a praise for a topic. He said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Now I want to say to you, my friend, there's not a bit of need of us bragging about how spiritual we are and about how holy we are because we've done this or done that and yet offend in one point in the Word of God. You realize it is just as much a commandment to make a joyful noise unto the Lord as it is to walk a holy life. Don't look at me like a calf in a new gate. Let your heart, if God said make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and we can't get a holy grunt out, I'll guarantee you that we're in disobedience to what the Bible teaches us. But praise is a topic. Make a joyful noise unto God. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. And my friend, we're a million light years behind on our praises for God. Friend, if we'd ever get a hold of what God's done for us and the life that God has given us, I believe that we'd learn to praise Him yet the more. We were on our way to hell without God and without any hope, but Christ came to where we was in that low land of sin and sorrow, and He lifted us out with a mighty hand of power. And we ought to be able to praise Him for it. And so praise is the topic of the psalm. And the subject of the psalm is the Lord's great works. I want to say, my friend, great are the works of God. I know none other that brought all of the plagues into Israel, parted the waters of the Red Sea, brought water out of the rock, fed the people of God with manna, gave them angels' food, led them through the wilderness, parted the waters of the Jordan River, brought the walls of Jericho down flat, drove the enemies out before them, give them a land, my friend, a rich in milk and honey and the blessings of God, and sustains them every day. I'm telling you, great are the works of the Lord. He sent His only begotten Son into the world, and there He laid down His life on the cross, was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, He came out of the grave with victory, my friend, for everyone that will come unto God by Him. And great is the works of our God, and He ought to be praised for His greatness to us. Oh yes, my friend, if you're here tonight, it ought to be enough to make you want to get up on your feet and praise God. If you think I'm telling it wrong, go on down to Mexico a while and sit on a tomato crate or a concrete block. Have a bathroom outside with a little old nasty sheet up over it, and flies are sucking and a blowing and everything. Chickens in your living room. Oh yes, hogs on top of the house. I'm telling you like it is. We have got enough to be thankful for God for in the house of God tonight. Amen. That's right. The Lord's great works is the subject. His gracious benefits, His faithful deliverance, and all of His dealings with His people. And one of God's dealings with His people is found in verse 10. He said in verse 10, "For Thou, O God, has proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." That's right. And one of His great dealings is that He proves us and He tries us. Now I want to say tonight that all the saints must go to God's proven house. Every one of us. Every one of us. Our faith will be tried. Every one of us. I told those people in Mexico, I'm confident that most of the people that are saved by the grace of God don't even realize what God uses and how God proves them and tries them and tests them. I'm telling you, some of the things in our life tonight that's got some of y'all with a long face and a mully grub, if you'd only realize in your heart that it's God trying to work in your life to prove you and to purge you and later to bless you, I guarantee you it'd put a song back in your heart and a smile on your face and praise from your lips to the God of glory that saved you. You don't understand the provings and testings of Almighty God. All the saints must go to the proven house. God had one son without sin, but He never had a son without a trial. You better get a hold of that. God had one sin, one son without sin, but not one son without a trial. For all of us are going down to God's testing house. God is going to test us. God's going to try us. God is going to prove us. Oh, yes. And we ought not to complain if we are subjected to the rule which is common to all the family. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't like what's going in my life." Hey, my friend, we're in the family of God. And one rule fits the whole family. Ain't that right? God don't play favorites. I know we do with our children. Nod your heads up and down and say amen. About every family I know's got a little pick, a little favorite that they play. And they do special for that child. But I'm telling you, it's not so with God. God has got a set of rules, and every child that's been born into the family of God will abide by that rule that God sets down for them. And we oughtn't to complain. We oughtn't to complain. Oh, but Brother Hall, you don't understand what I'm going through. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God will also, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now I'm telling you, friend, temptations and trials are all common to us. And we oughtn't to complain, we oughtn't to gripe, we oughtn't to grumble. Especially when we realize that the Lord is the one that's proven us, the Lord is the one that's trying us, and God's wisdom and God's love for us has designed that, and we ought to rejoice knowing that God's working in our life. I'm going to tell you where I see Baptists tonight. Living exactly opposite from what the Bible says we ought to. I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. We live in a totally opposite. We can stump our toe. We can stump our toe. And buddy, we're just about out of it. I mean, it don't take much to get us down. It don't take much to deprive us of even a smile in our heart, much less the victory that God wants us to have. I'm telling you, we'll let some of the most trivial little things get us down. Somebody said, "Preacher, my problem and my trial is not a trivial trial. I just got done telling you, friend, that the Lord is the one that proved them. The Lord is the one that tried them. And there are no big trials to God. There are no big problems with God. There are no big problems and little problems with God. For with God all things are possible. He knows no defeat. He only knows victory for you and I." Praise God, somebody smile at me. I might go back to Mexico. Huh? But I won't say great benefits flow from this trial of faith. It said that He brought us out into a wealthy place. The Lord Himself proves us. Therefore, there should never be a question as to the wisdom and the love that's displayed in a trial. Lord, why are You doing this? He knows what's best. Lord, why are You doing this in my... Why is that little 9-year-old boy got the shingles? I have no earthly idea. I do know I've read enough about it that it's generally something that comes on adults later on in their life, sets in on a virus, and it's something like the chicken pox. But never on a little 9-year-old boy. Why are they there? I don't have no earthly idea, but I know a God in heaven that is responsible for them, that never makes a mistake in little boys' lives, big boys' lives, women's lives, children's lives, anybody else's life. Amen. He doeth all things well. Amen. There may come a day when God will make hymns out of our griefs. Can you get a hold of that? God can take our griefs. God can take our griefs and give us a song in the night. How wonderful that is. Oh, I'm telling you. Learn to trust in church. Learn to walk with Him. Learn to believe God. Go through life with a smile on your face and a spring in your step, believing God. That's right. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm having it hard." Oh, yeah, we're all having it a little hard. But son, I'm telling you, God can take our grief and put a song in our heart out of those griefs. Amen. Amen. He can make hymns out of our griefs and sing more sweetly out of a mouth that's been purified by bitter draughts. I'm going to tell you what will purify the Christian is the bitter trials of life, the bitter things of life. It's the valleys, church, are you listening to me, that make Christian. It's the difficulties in life that make us strong. For when we're weak, that's when we're strong. For it's at that time that we're leaning on the Lord. Now I'm telling you, if we'll ever learn to lean on the Lord and be like that little bride in Solomon 8, who is this coming up out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Why, it's the bride of the Lord Jesus that was brought up under that apple tree. I'm telling you, if we've been raised up under the cross of the Lord Jesus. I never saw this when I preached it for you all. But in chapter number 2, the Bible says about that, about the bride, says that the Lord said He is the apple tree among the woods, so is my beloved among the trees of the wood, or something, among the sons of men. She said, I sat down under His shade, and the taste of His fruit, said it was delightful. It was there that she sat down under that apple tree. But in Solomon chapter number 8, and I believe verse number 6, it is there that He raised her up under that apple tree. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying, bless your heart, if we'll ever learn to sit down under the cross, just sit down under the cross and rest in Calvary, He'll raise us up under the cross, brother, and we'll come up out of the wilderness leaning on our beloved. I'm simply saying He'll raise you up around the cross. And our problem, we get too far from the cross, We get to our minds trained and we get concerned with this and concerned with that, and we want the deeper things of life, and we've never fathomed the depths of the cross yet. Amen. 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 That's right. Now I see about three or four things that I want to mention to you tonight. And we're going to the house. Look at the fire that tries us. He said in verse 10, "For thou, O Lord, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Silver is purified in a furnace of fire. That's right. He said in verse 12 that we went through the fire and through the water. I'm simply saying that it is a fiery trial that is to try us. I almost wanted to preach tonight on, Lord, turn the heat up. Amen to God. For the hotter the fire, the purer we're going to be. And I'm wondering how many folks, like the three Hebrew boys, will have enough grace to stay in the fire until they're purified. Sometimes I'm telling you, I've never seen so many people wanting to jump out of the fire, back up on God, set down on God, compromise on God, go back on God. Just because the fires of His testings and His trial seem to get a little too hot for us. All He's trying to do is purify us. Well, I'm telling you, our forefathers would laugh at us. They burned John Husk at the stake. They put, what was his name? John Bunyan in prison, the biggest part of his sojourn. Paul spent time, as much time in prison as he spent out of prison. And son, we can't get over a trouble, a trial, a little old trial that's much bigger than a toadstool. They put three Hebrew boys in a furnace of fire, and they put Daniel in a den of lions. Now I'm telling you, Lord, that puts me and you to disgrace. Our forefathers have been burnt at the stake. They've been run through with swords. They've been driven out of countries. They've been driven underground. They lived in the catacombs, friend, and didn't have enough liberty to see daylight. And we're mollygrubbing over what God has done in our life. We haven't seen any testing yet. That's why there's no books being written today. Books that John Rice wrote, and books that Curtis Hudson wrote, and books that Jack Hiles wrote, and I know I'm on the air, they're weaker than branch water. They don't have enough meat in them, bless God, to feed a gnat. One good meal. And the reason being, we don't know what it is to walk with God through the fire to purify us and spend enough time in that fire to get a truth from God in our heart that we can give it and be a blessing to those that are around us. I've tried to share some of the little things with you that God's done in my life. And you sit and look at me like a calf in a new gate. Act like some of you act like you don't have no earthly idea about what I'm even talking about. I'm going to tell you, I have learned in the last 3 weeks that one of the greatest, and I'm trying to find the word, but troubles or problems that we're going to encounter is fear, friend. It's real, son. It is real. Have you ever sat in a foxhole thinking that the next move you made, a thousand troops would cross some little branch with their bayonets fixed to charge at you? I'm going to tell you something, that's fear. Now, I wasn't afraid then because I was a lost man. But oh, when I learned to fear God in my life, you better believe what I'm telling you, son. But there is a fear not just of God, but there is a fear, my friend. The devil will put the fear into us. And if we're not leaning on God and trusting God, when that fear comes, we'll bail out on God. Amen. The fire that tries us. I almost thought Brother Steve was going to take part of my message this morning. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Don't think it strange. Why do we think it's strange when God begins to deal with us in our life and lead us into difficulties and hardships that will purify our soul, purify our hearts and minds, and make us usable for God? Hey, there are in every house vessels of gold and vessels of silver and precious things and also wood, hay, and stubble. You know what the best of those vessels are? The gold that's been purified in the fire and the silver that's been in the fire. Oh, yes, but our problem is, son, we don't want to be gold or silver. We're satisfied with stubble wood and hay and stubble and things that will never amount to anything for God. I'm talking about suffering a little bit. I may get to that in a minute. That's right. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. There you are. Why are we down? Rejoice. Why are we down tonight? But rejoice. When the fiery trial hits us, rejoice. Don't think some strange thing has happened. Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering. Woo! We can ever get a hold of the fact that it's an honor to be led into the trials, my friend. It's an honor to be led into the fire, that we might be partakers of the sufferings of Christ. And as Paul said, that we in the body, the church, might fill up the sufferings of Christ. Am I getting through to anybody? Son, I tell you, it don't feel like I'm getting through a whole lot. He said that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, I'm going to try to go on through it. Hey, look here now. You can't have a fire without fuel. What are the instruments of fire? There are some instruments that God uses to turn up the heat of that fiery trial that is to try us and that is to prove us. I put the first one down, afflictions. Hey, afflictions. Why don't we open up our eyes tonight and look around and see what God is doing with us? I don't believe I've ever lived in an hour and I'm not being ugly. I don't believe I've ever pastored in a time and I'm not being ugly. When people cannot open up their eyes and see the hand of God and what God is doing in your life to purify you and make a Christian out of you rather than a pew warmer down at the church house doing nothing all the days of your life. Amen to God. Have you ever just opened up your eyes? How many men in here have been without work? How many men in here are out of work? George got a knot on his elbow. Brother George got diabetes. Sandy's family is going through all kinds of personal affliction. Miss Kelly has got diabetes. That family lost a baby. Angie couldn't get pregnant. Hey, do you want me to go on? We've got folks in here that's sick and got acid refluxes and this and that and one thing or another. Do you want me to go on? I'm talking about afflictions, friend. It's one of the instruments God uses to turn the heat up on us, to purify us, and make a vessel meet for His use. Amen to God. That's right. Might be money. That's an affliction. It might be a physical affliction. It might be a family member afflicted. But I'm telling you, all things still work together for our good to those that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. That's the point I'm trying to make. God proved them, it said. God tried them, it said. God led them through the fire and God led them through the water. But bless the Lord, they come out in a wide and wealthy place. Hallelujah. Amen. God leads His dear children along. Some through the fire and some through the flood. Some through the waters and some through the flood. Some through the fire. But thanks be unto God. All, every one of us. Through the blood, hallelujah to God. Now I've got news for you. He led us through the blood before He ever led us through the flood, hallelujah. And if you've been through the blood, you're a maker through the flood. Amen. That's right. Afflictions. Isaiah 48:10 said, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." Now I want to remind you, God said that about His chosen people, Israel. But son, if Israel is the apple of God's eye, the adulteress wife of Jehovah, don't think that the bride of Christ, the apple of God's eye, will get by with any less. For every son of God that He chooses, He has chosen us in the furnace of affliction to purify our hearts through faith, that we might be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. We've lost sight of what God's doing. He wants to make us like His own dear Son. And the only way He can is to burn out that jealousy and burn out that pride and purify us from fornication and purify our lustful eyes and hearts and minds and purify us, my friend, from all of those little sins like anger, jealousy, animosity, pride, and all that other bunch. Laziness, sorriness, lack of faith, unbelief. You want me to go on? Oh, preacher, I don't got no television in my house. Hallelujah to God. How much faith have you got? When was the last time God purified your faith enough that you could move a mountain out of its place? Some of you can't pray over a molehill, much less a mountain. That's what the Lord's talking about, church. Telling a mountain, remove. We ain't literally going to move no mountain. But I'm going to tell you, there's spiritual mountains that we can move. I'm going to ask you something tonight. Do you think it's just a coincidence Angie's expecting? Son, there's been some praying going on. Benny told me today, he said, Daddy, has Angie told you what we're going to call him? I said, I know what it better be, boy. Can I tell? Zachary David! Hallelujah! There's been some hot tears shed. But I'm going to tell you what God's done for it. You don't mind, do you, Andy? I'm going to tell you how God has worked in that. God has put a love in our heart for Angie. And a love in Angie's heart for us. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I tell you, God knows how to bring about trials. But when we're through that trial, there is a wealthy place awaiting us. Through the fire, through the water, but a wealthy place waits on us on the other side. Hallelujah. Well, I'm having fun. I don't know about the rest of you. I want to say secondly, and we all know this, but not only affliction, but another instrument is absences, or our absence of Christ in our life. Song of Solomon 5:6, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. I want to ask you something. Do you think that he had withdrew himself because he grew impatient? Do you think that he can become impatient? That's sin. And he knew no sin. He didn't withdraw from that little bride because he was impatient. He did not withdraw himself because he became angry. Do you think he knocked and knocked and said, well, she's not going to answer the door, and left in anger? Oh, no. Christ, don't get angry with the people of God. He did not doubt she was inside. He didn't knock so long and he scratched his head and said, I wonder if she's at home. But I'm going to tell you why he withdrew himself. For a purpose, friend. He withdrew himself to try her faith, to try her love, and to try her sincerity for Christ. And I'm telling some of you, like Brother Kim said it on Thursday night, if you don't get up and answer the doorbell, when you do, you might find God gone from you. That's right. Amen. His purpose was to see if she had enough faith to go out into the city and exert her spiritual being in search of Him. For when if you seek the Lord with all your heart, then will you find Him. I wonder if there's any in here tonight that's really looking for God. He's gone, church. He is gone. I'm like Travis Clayton. I didn't come in on a load of pumpkins. If I didn't fall off on my head out there in the parking lot. And son, I got enough sense to know when God has done, got up and gone. And he's gone from here. Somebody said, will he come back? I hope so. If he don't, we're all in a heap of trouble. But I'm going to tell you one thing that will bring him back if we'll get up off our blessed assurance and quit sulking and feeling sorry for ourselves and set our heart to find God wherever he might be. I could just about one of these days call some of you names. That way you'd understand who I'm talking about. Now I'm telling you, you're going to answer that door too late, friend. God's purpose for that withdrawal was to prove her and to try her. What a great honor that he loved her enough to do that. What an honor that we have God proven our heart. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. If I went home, my wife never had a meal on a table. Few men went home and your wife never had a meal on a table. How long would it take you to get to the refrigerator? Son, you wouldn't tarry long. You'd be in that refrigerator, buddy, looking for a bologna sandwich, if that's all there was. Or cheese balls. Or some fudge. Tried it this afternoon. Still good, Miss Kelly. I'm going to tell you, but we'll let God roll away from us. We'll let God get away from us to prove us and test us. And rather than seeking God and rejoicing what he has done for us and rejoicing in that he's allowed us to walk through that trial and experience the sufferings of Christ, we'll sit down and mully grub about it.
Amen.
I won't say secondly, his absence. Thirdly. Afflictions, absence, and I hope this one goes over, abjects. It's used one time in the Bible. Psalm 35:15, but in mine adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Any English student, am I pronouncing that correctly, Miss Sandy? Abjects. Gathered themselves together against me. And I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. And that word abjects means a smiter. It means to strike lightly or it means to strike severely. That word means a traducer, which is a false accuser. I'm here to tell you, are you listening to me? There will be times in your life that God will use people. People to prove you and try you. I want to say this on the authority of that Bible. If you love not Christ more than father or mother or children, our son, our daughter, you cannot be my disciple. That's what the Bible said. And I'm telling you, sometimes he'll let some folks that are very dear to you, he'll use them to prove you to see if you really love him or not. That's right. And it's just like somebody is smiting you, ain't it? You ever been close to somebody you love? And they'll lie about you, lie on you, and smite your heart and wound your heart and make you just grieve in your soul about what's going on. And there's not a thing you can do. Because you love them. I'm telling you this. Some of you in here tonight, I love you, but I'm telling you, I feel like you have smitten me in my heart. And I feel so helpless in trying to help you. And bless your heart, I'm telling you, I've just about come to the recognition of the fact that you are an abject that God is using to try my faith to see if I'm going to go on with God and pastor this church he's called me to or kick out. Are you listening to me? Yeah, I hope so. Amen to God. Not only the instruments God uses, But the instruction that God gives, Psalm 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Psalm 119, 49 and 50. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me. I'm going to tell you what his comfort and his hope was the word that God had promised him. And I'm telling you, when we're in that trial and God's a trying us, a purging us, and the fire gets hot, brother, if we'll just lean upon the Lord in that conviction and hope upon the Lord, He will get comfort and grace. That Bible said God is a God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those, my friend, that come along in this life behind us. I've used this so many times, so many times. Some of you ladies in here have lost babies in miscarriage. God may want to use you just to be a comfort. I cannot offer words of comfort to a lady that's been through that. But some of you ladies have. You can offer those words of comfort. Are you listening to me? Some of you in here may have had loved ones that's left you, departed from you. And I can't offer comfort along that line. But you can. Amen to God. I'm telling you, the trials and the afflictions you go through, God is preparing you to be a blessing to somebody else down the road. I say it's not just like Brother Ricky and Miss Kelly. They lost little Hannah. And I don't know, I don't understand at all why. But I'm telling you, I could not sit down with another couple, a young couple, and console them, because I have never experienced that. They could. Amen. That's right. I want to say secondly, not only the fire, and I'll hurry through this and we'll go to the house, but the fruit of our trial. Got your Bibles? Turn to James 1. I'll be done in just a few minutes. Turn to James 1. The fruit of our trial. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. There's that fruit. Joy. Count it all joy. How can that be, Brother Hall? I really don't understand it all, but for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Now I'm telling you, it is evidence of God working in our life. I heard a preacher say something about there ain't but one thing that gives assurance to our salvation. I can't remember what he said. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. God working in your life, producing virtue in your life, is one of the greatest evidence in the world that you're a child of God. And making it through that trial is even a greater experience. Floating that trial may be a good evidence that you've never been to Calvary. Because the Bible said He led us through the fire. He led us through the water. He proved us and tested us. He put us in the net, brought us out of the net, and then brought us out in a wealthy place. And God done it. God done it. Joy. Brother Steve mentioned this morning. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It ought to be a joyful thing to get some patience about us. I'm going to tell you, it's not fun getting them, but they're well worth their weight in gold. Patience is worth its weight in gold to a Christian. Better believe in you. Patience possess you your souls. Learn to take things in an admirable way. That's right. We don't have to get up sitting in the air. Get ulcers over every little thing that happens. We'll wait on God. We've got the assurance in the three verses I read you that once He takes us through that trial, He'll bring us out in a wealthy place. Hallelujah. Patience. Notice this. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Maturity. you may be perfect and entire. Patience, having a perfect work, will mature you. Make a real strong Christian out of you. And I tell you, we can't really do the work of God, church, until we are. We have some sort of maturity. Somebody said, how do you know? Just like these children, these boys here couldn't work in a steel mill. They're not mature.
Right.
Baby Christians cannot really do a lot of the work of God because they're not mature.
Amen.
That's why Brother Paul said that it was up to the preachers, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers for the perfecting of the saints of God. Maturing them.
Amen.
Maturing them in the Word of God. We can't stay babies all of our life. I wish I had my big bottle out here. I'd let some of us suck on it a little while. Brother Steve played that message by Billy Ball the other night on diaper bag. I think a lot of Baptists still need a diaper bag. Got a burp rag in it, a big bottle in it, and a little diaper or two in there. Can of talcum powder. One of them little things that Joseph R. puts. I wonder how many folks get nada out of the Bible. Get nada out of the worship service. Get nada out of the preaching. All this to them is a pacifier. Let's go, baby.
Right.
I'm trying to do, Brother Doug. It ain't the easiest thing in the world, man. Wisdom. Any of you, verse 5, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. Faith, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And stability. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Fruit. The fire, the fruit, and the finality of the trial. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Christian prosperity in our life through the trial. And I'm going to be honest with you. That's the only way I know that it comes by. The only way. Better listen to me. I love you. We can throw the television set out of our house, ladies and gentlemen. We can get our hair right. We can get all the slits out of our clothes. We can get our makeup right. We can get our jewelry right. We can get everything right about us. But if we're not able to walk through those trials and grow and mature in faith and become stable, that other stuff won't make nothing but a self-righteous Pharisee out of us. It cannot make you spiritually prosperous. Now, it can make you sanctimonious. But it cannot prosper you spiritually. As far as it itself, if you understand what I'm saying. It can't. I'm going to tell you what will, walking through that fire. And coming out on the other side in a wealthy place. Let's stand together.